It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're going to try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey, everybody, it's time for Swap Shop. What do you say, Swap Shop? Hey, things are starting to pick up a little bit in the Swap Shop gallery. We have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 messages that we're supposed to read, you know. And if you have a message from your organization that you'd like us to read, we'll be glad to do that, you know, for a nonprofit or a school or, you know, an organization like that, some organization that's not in it for making cash. anyway, if you'd like to, you can send it to us at, I don't have the address. We'll give you, next week I'll give you the address where you can send it to. Or you can call us and tell us your event here at 740-383-9944. And we have a call already. Boy, that was quick. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I've got a big area rug for a living room or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's cream colored with blue designs in it. And it's in good shape. It just needs a good cleaning, but it does not have any major spots on it or anything like that.
Okay.
And I'm asking $15 for it.
Oh, that's a good price. Now, so, do you have any idea of roughly what the size is?
You know, I don't, because I didn't really measure it, but in an average living room, it covers a good amount of the floor.
So I'm guessing it's probably 8 by 15 or somewhere around, you know.
Something like that, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put that down, and we'll say that that's just a guesstimate.
Yeah, just a guesstimate, but okay. It'd be good for somebody's living room. It'd look good and cover a good distance for somebody, but okay. Like I said, no major spots, just needs a good cleaning.
Well, for $15, you can get a cleaning done, and you'll have a great rug, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, $15 now, what's the phone number, or do you have other items?
That one for today.
Phone number?
740-914-0456.
Oh, that's an easy one to remember. Okay.
Yeah, not too bad.
All right. Well, we'll be announcing that for the next 45 minutes. Hope you get it sold.
All right.
Thanks
you,
for
sir.
Calling Swap Shop. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. In case you didn't get that, let me read it back to you. This gentleman has an area rug for sale. It's cream color, but it has blue accents, apparently. It needs to be cleaned, but not in bad shape. He only wants $15. That's a darn good price for an area rug. We're kind of guessing 8 by 15. You know, it'll be a nice living room size rug. 740-914-0456. An easy number to remember. 740-914-0456. Okay? For that area rug, and we'll announce it a little later as well. So if you have something you'd like to sell, or you have an event that you'd like us to promote, give us that call, 740-383-9944. Now, we have four events here. Pleasant High School Alumni Association, they're having, well, because of the pandemic problem, they've been asked not to hold their Pleasant High School Alumni Banquet in June. So they're going to move it to mid-August. The alumni banquet, and they'll hold it on the school grounds with local caterers and Pleasant talent. But the details will be released at a later date. Corrected addresses, listings for those classmates who have passed, and donations can be forwarded to Marsha Mack, 565 Meadow Lane, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Let me give you that again. You can send, changes of addresses, listings of classmates who may have passed away, or any donations to Marsha Mack, M-A-C-K, 565 Meadow Lane, Marion, Ohio, 43302. All right. We have free safety safari. Marion County Board of Development and Disabilities at 2387 Harding Highway East here in Marion on April 10th, 2021, between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Everybody's welcome. Come out to the local MCBDD and interact with the different members of the community that help keep the community safe. There'll be police officers, firefighters, and other safety personnel along with their vehicles. This community event is held to break down the barriers between public and law enforcement with an emphasis on the DD community. All right, and they will be adhering to COVID restrictions. That's April 10th, 2021, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mid-Ohio Food Bank, in partnership with Logos Christian Ministries, is having a free produce market the second Saturday of every month between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. Logos Christian Ministries is at 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio, 43302. That's 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio, and that's between 12 and 2 p.m. Free fresh food to local individuals and families in need. No appointment needed. Pre-registration or paperwork is required for individuals, and it'll simply be asked to sign the produce market and provide name and number of the in their family. Okay. The Marion County Park District on the 10th of April is having a morning bird watching on the Marion Tallgrass Trail, as James Anderson explained to us last week or 2 weeks ago. I'm not sure which week it was. Anyway, they're having a bird watching on April 10th at 8 a.m. So you got to get up a little early, and they're going to start at the DeCliff parking lot. Okay. Okay, I already read the Pleasant thing. So we've got all of our announcements out of the way that we told people we would tell. And we do have one item for sale right now on Swap Shop, an area rug. It's cream with blue, cream color with blue accents, I guess it is. It needs to be cleaned, but it's good living room size, maybe 8 by 15, maybe a little bigger, a little smaller. All he wants is $15 for it. The phone number, you ready? 740 714-0456. That area rug call, 740-914-0456. All right. Well, while we're waiting for our next callers or whatever, by the way, if you're going to call something it needs to be something that doesn't have legal registration, you know, guns, cars, houses, that type of thing. All right. Call in and tell us what you want to sell. Give us a price and a phone number and we'll see what we can do for you here on Swap Shop. All right. We're going to talk about stuff about Easter. And it's not going to be a religious thing. It's going to be more along the line of things that kids are interested in around Easter. You know, eggs and bunnies and that sort of thing. I decided not to do it. You know, there are a lot of churches around that are talking about the religious side of Easter, which is the important side of Easter, but there is also another important side, which has to do with the kids' traditions, and that's what we're going to talk about. By the way, Easter baskets, they really have a special symbolism, and it does have to do with religion. The woven containers represent nests and new life. Especially when filled to the brim with eggs. You understand the analogy there? Plus, they're pretty utilitarian way to collect goodies for your Easter egg hunt. So, but they're really focusing on new life, which I guess is kind of a little religious, especially since Easter is at the time that Christ died and apparently was resurrected. So, there's a reason you probably eat ham for Easter dinner. Now, I never knew this. I love ham, but ever since my heart attack, my wife won't let me have salty ham very often. Matter of fact, when I just say the word ham, it makes my mouth water. I love ham. We probably have ham twice a year, maximum. Now, in sandwiches, maybe once a month I'm allowed to have a deli ham sandwich. But why do you think you have ham for Easter dinner? A lot of places do. I know that my mother and father always had ham for Easter dinner. Historically, most early Easter celebrants would have eaten lamb. That's a little different than ham, but lamb is a little harder to get. And this special occasion in the holiday has its roots in the Jewish Passover. But most American Easter dinners now feature ham because of the timing of the holiday. Years ago, hams cured over the winter months and would be ready to serve by early spring. That's kind of an interesting fact. Now, I don't know if you eat lamb. I have lamb maybe once a decade, not very often. They've changed, the tradition has changed in the years. And now, because everybody wanted to taste the ham and it was cured about this time of the year, everything was ready to eat. So that's why after the winter months are over, people are ready to have some ham, and the ham has been cured all winter long, and so now it's ready to go, right? All right. Well, now here's an interesting subject. Easter lilies are a relatively new tradition. Can't be terribly new because I remember my mother and father having Easter lilies in our church all the time. These beautiful blooms first originated in Japan and then later arrived in England. I'm assuming they're talking about the Easter lilies that are white, and they originated in Japan. Later arrived in England in the late 18th century, so 1700s, late 1700s. The U.S. only caught onto the trend after World War I. The transition from dormant bulbs to delicate flowers brings to mind hope and rebirth, which are two themes of Easter, hope and rebirth. And now all the, don't you just love all the flowers that pop up? I'm not good with doing bulbs. It's too hard a job. Now, I do have bulbs of garlic and bulbs of shallots in my garden this year. But flower bulbs, I planted an awful lot of them. But it seems like they have a mind of their own. And some years I get, like my crocus this year were pretty good. I had several crocus. But I know I planted a lot more than popped up. My tulips are not doing well at all, and I know I probably have a couple dozen tulips planted, but I only see maybe five or six of them have sent up leaves. It might just be me. I might just not be very good at it. Wait there for a second. I had a little bit. I'm having a little verklempt voice, and I'm trying not to embarrass myself and disgust you by coughing into the microphone. Anyway, Easter eggs. The eggs kind of have a medieval twist. When you think Easter egg hunts, or if you think they're a little bit on the odd thing, why would you go hunting for Easter eggs that were laid by a bunny, right? Listen to this medieval game that children used to play. The priest would give one of the choir boys a hard-boiled egg, and the boys would pass it amongst themselves until the clock struck midnight, when whoever was holding it then got to eat it. I love hard-boiled eggs. I'm not sure I could wait till midnight. And why did they keep young choir boys up till midnight? Does that sound like fun? It doesn't sound like fun to me. But, you know, they had a lot lower threshold of fun back in medieval times, I guess. To be alive was fun, and to eat an egg was even more fun, because they didn't get a lot to eat, I guess. But that's kind of where the Easter egg got started, at the medieval times, where they would pass a boiled egg around amongst the altar boys, and whoever had it at midnight got to eat it. You know, there's got to be some easy ways of cheating that game. When you get it at 10 o'clock, you just stick it in your pocket and you don't pass it around. Oh, well, that's what some people would do. Not me. I'd keep passing. Easter clothes used to be considered good luck. You know, we used to almost always have a new set of clothes, a new suit. My mother, she knew I hated brown suits. So I think she bought me a brown suit just to hear me growl. But I always had a new brown suit. I much preferred the blue suit. My dad wore blue suits. Why couldn't I wear blue suits? Mom always got me. I guess she must have liked the way I looked in brown. To this day, I don't like brown suits. I do have a tan suit, and I don't mind it. But I don't have one of those dirt brown suits. I hate those. No, well. But Easter clothes are supposedly good luck. Old superstition held that if you wore new clothes on Easter, you'd have good luck for the rest of the year. Doesn't work sometimes, I'll tell you that. Every year I wore that new brown suit. Some years were good and some years weren't so good. In fact, it's so widely believed that the upper class New Yorkers would literally strut their stuff coming out en masse in beautiful, well-to-do Fifth Avenue churches. And the tradition became the basis of the modern and less elitist Easter parade, the Easter Bonnet Festival in New York. A lot of good music goes around in your Easter bonnet, right? It is kind of neat to be able to have some nice, shiny new clothes. A lot of people can't afford new clothes. But now, when I went to church, we were always required to go to church in a sport coat or a suit, my brother and I. And my sister always had a pretty frock on. Whether it was Easter or not, it had to be spotlessly clean, and it had to look very good. And you weren't allowed to get messed up in those clothes, right? You weren't allowed to get down on your hands and knees and shoot marbles before you went to church, right? I'm losing it here. Okay, here's another thing about those Easter eggs, by the way. There's evidence that show that Easter eggs originated, as we talked about, in medieval Europe, and Christians may not have actually been the ones that started that tradition of giving eggs. Because eggs are a symbol of fertility and rebirth in many cultures. And, you know, I'm not sure that the Christians believed that a symbol of fertility was something so wonderful. Now, having related to Christianity, I would say fertility and rebirth are probably a pretty good thing related to religion. The holiday was named after the Anglo-Saxon goddess Estre. That's spelled E-O-S-T-R-E, Estre. Or Ostre, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but scholars believe that Easter was named after a festival celebrating Estre and the coming of spring. Her sacred symbols are thought to have been the hare and the egg. Gives me thought. The hare and the egg. Now, you know that a lot of Christian holidays are named after put on the same date as less religious celebrations, so that sometimes people didn't like Christians back in the day. And if, like, Christmas was so supposedly a Roman holiday, and so they could celebrate the birth of Christ without having their head cut off, which is probably not a good thing, or being nailed to a cross or anything else, right? So maybe that's why Easter was named after Estre and her holiday. Eggs are dyed to represent the blood of Jesus. Well, at least that might be one of the reasons, which stem from early Christians in Mesopotamia. There isn't a real concrete reason behind the tradition, but there are several theories, and that happens to be one of them. They're rather convenient that the dye represents the blood of Christ. Now, I don't know if the dye is green. I don't know. All right, Good Friday is recognized as holy in only 12 states. You know, all these states that, keep my editorial comments to myself, but only 12 states recognize Good Friday as a holiday. I remember we used to, in high school, we were allowed to take an extra hour off at lunchtime if it was our family tradition to go to lunchtime Good Friday celebrations. But they didn't really give you a day off, all right? It occurs 2 days before Easter Sunday, Good Friday does, and it commemorates Christ's crucifixion, but it isn't considered a federal holiday. Now, apparently that's separating church from state. Maybe that's the reason, I guess. But Christmas is considered a federal holiday. Oh, well, I guess I don't understand. But Good Friday is not considered a federal holiday. Residents in certain states, though, do experience, you know, some closures of major businesses like New Jersey, North Carolina, Tennessee. Those are three of the 12 states that kind of celebrate it as a holiday, right? In 2020, 77% of American adults celebrated that as a holiday, even though the state didn't celebrate it as a holiday. About half of those chose to mark the occasion with a holiday meal. And a third of those people, they visited family and friend. And that's according to National Retail Federation. And they keep an eye on that because they want to have people spend some money on in their stores, right? So about 77% of the Americans kind of celebrate that as a holiday. I don't think my family ever had a special Good Friday meal, but we quite often did celebrate by visiting our family because we go from school to visit my family and then spend the weekend at my family's place down in Indianapolis, my grandfather and grandmother. Which is another story, and I think I've told it already. If you ate at my grandfather's house, you had to be wearing a tie. And you better be a good little boy, or you would get in a lot of trouble. Grandpa was a little strict that way. A wonderful man, but pretty strict that way. And he was fairly well-to-do, being the I think he was the first... what is the name of the person that's... he was a doctor, and he was a very esteemed doctor in Indianapolis. So he made a lot of money, and he had a butler, and he had a maid. So I guess it was a little bit more formal at their house. Unfortunately, that money didn't pass down, by the way. it was taken away by... nursing homes and stuff like that. We can thank Germany, by the way, for the bunny, for the Easter bunny. You can thank Germany. The idea of the Easter bunny giving candles and candies and eggs is said to have originated in Germany during the Middle Ages, with the very first written mention of the tradition dating back to the 16th century. So in the 1500s, somebody decided a bunny was a good idea at Christmas, at Easter. Dutch settlers in Pennsylvania brought the bunny to the United States in the 1700s. So you can thank a lot of Dutch settlers in Pennsylvania for a lot of different things. But the bunny was a fairly interesting introduction. And how we think that bunnies are going to lay eggs, I never have understood that. How about you? especially eggs that are colored the way they are. I'm not sure I ever believed that. You know, as a little guy, of course I believed in Santa Claus because Santa Claus is true. But I don't think I ever believed the bunny laid eggs for me. I really don't think so. And I'm sorry if there are some little guys listening right now. Ask your mom and dad. Maybe they know better than I do. I'm not saying it's true or false. I had a sister that was 10 years my senior and a brother that was 8 years older than me. And they always told me bad stuff, right? They told me the bunny didn't exist. And they may have lied to me. Easter and Halloween. This is kind of interesting. Easter and Halloween often compete for the highest candy sales every year. Every year you get more candy sold on Easter and Halloween. And they have a competition to see which holiday has more. The two holidays, they're always going head-to-head. And they in the candy sales, usually coming real close to each other. In fact, some years people buy more candy the week before Easter than the week before Halloween. But that's because Halloween purchases are more spread over the month, leading to the spooky night. Now, of course, you remember, you go into a grocery store, and they have those Halloween candies seem to come out mid-June. Whereas they're a little bit less obvious, the Easter candies, because the Easter candies almost always are egg-shaped. They're almost always chocolate. Whereas Halloween candies are usually little ones that you can hand out. So they start selling those way, way early. But now, yesterday, I do my grocery shopping for my wife and my sister-in-law. And my sister-in-law wanted me to buy her a Cadbury egg. Well, I found four in a box. And there were only two boxes left on the store, in the store. So I got it for her. And it was, I'm trying to remember. Caramel. Ooh, it really sounded good. I love chocolate and caramel together. And that's what they were. But it was the last two in the store. And Easter, what, is the fourth? So they were pretty much sold out when I went in yesterday looking for that specific brand of egg. And she didn't want me just to get any egg. It had to be the Cadbury egg, and it had to be have caramel in it. Now, they also make them with, like, marshmallow on the inside or something like that. They didn't have any of those left. Now, what do you think the other candy is that everybody loves? Of course, the Peeps. Now, I can only eat Peeps once a year, and I probably eat two or three of them because I really love the flavor of them, but I'm done after I eat my Easter Peeps. I'm done for the rest of the year. It used to, well, they're made out of marshmallow, as you probably knew. They don't have any chocolate. I bet somebody makes a chocolate-covered Peep, or somebody has already covered their Peep with chocolate. You know, you could drizzle it on there. But they're made in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and the factory makes 5.5 million a day of Peeps. Now, you know, are you like me? I kind of like the Peeps when they get a little stale. I don't know why, but I kind of like them that way. In 1953, it took 27 hours to make one Peep. That's back when they were still new to the world, of course, and were handmade with a pastry tube. You know, so you had to squeeze it all. So it took, well, I can't imagine it would take 24 hours to make it, but it probably took 24 hours for them to set up, because you'd squeeze it and make the shape of the bunny or the chicken or whatever little form shape you wanted, and you'd do several of them, and 27 hours later, they would solidify so you could hand them out, right? But don't worry, it sped up a little bit. Now it takes 6 minutes on a machine, and you know, that's, and they do thousands at a time. So, but it only takes 6 minutes for a Peep to be fully set up. And if you do several tens of thousands every 6 minutes, you'll have tens of thousands, right? More than 1.5 million Cadbury cream eggs are made every day. Now, that was the flavor that was the backup flavor for my sister-in-law. She said she would take Cadbury cream eggs if I couldn't find the caramel eggs. But I found the caramel eggs. And the Cadbury cream eggs were gone. Even more impressive is that Bourneville factory in Birmingham, England, make 500 million every year. I didn't know that's where Cadbury was made. Birmingham, England. And they make 500 million Cadbury cream eggs every year. If you pile those eggs on top of each other, they're taller than Mount Everest. Wow! And they're tiny little eggs. They're not that big. They're maybe an inch and a half long, maybe, something like that. When I was sent on my errand to get them for my sister-in-law, I thought, well, they'd be, you know, 3 or 4 inches big. No. I bet they make them that big, but the ones that they had left at the store where I went, there were 4 in a box, and the 4 were no bigger than 2 inches, and I bet closer to 1.5 inches long, right? All right. Americans consume more than 16 million jelly beans during Easter. I do like those spicy ones. And they make those really gourmet ones that are little. I like those too. That's enough jelly beans, by the way. The 16 million jelly beans is enough jelly beans to circle the globe not once, not twice, 3 times. So that's a lot of jelly beans. Or you can fill a plastic egg the size of a 9-story building with 16 million jelly beans. They were first introduced as an Easter treat in the 1930s. We can't imagine the day without them now. They're probably not good for you, but if you only eat them once a year or twice a year, who cares, right? You got to have a little fun in life. 16 million jelly beans are eaten during Easter. What's your favorite flavor? I like the red ones, the cherry flavor, whatever the red flavor is. I like those the best. I do like the spicy ones, but if I'm going to eat a bunch of them, I want the red ones. Not good for your teeth either, I don't suppose. Around 90 million chocolate bunnies are sold for Easter. You know, and they have all different sizes. You can get chocolate bunnies that are as big as a human being down to ones that are smaller than your thumb, right? I'm unfortunately, I forgot to put my phone on vibrate, so I was getting a phone call. Somebody's wanting to buy my recreational vehicle, apparently. All right. Around 90 million chocolate bunnies are sold for Easter, considering $2.6 billion is spent on candy during this religious celebration. It makes sense that it's only in the United States where they sell that much, right? $2.6 billion worth of candy. There are dentists that are dancing a joyful dance every every Easter and Halloween, probably, right? A surprising 59% of people eat the ears first. I think I eat the ears first. Or maybe I eat the whole head right off the top. It depends on the size. If it's a really big bunny, I will eat one ear at a time. If it's a little bunny, I eat the whole head first. I can't imagine eating it any other way, right? Well, how do you eat it? Eat the feet first? The derriere first? Anyway, now, it also depends if it's a hollow chocolate bunny or if it's a solid chocolate bunny. If it's a solid chocolate bunny, you can't eat the whole head at one time. You have to go ear by ear, foot by foot, little bunny tail by bunny tail. If it's hollow, you can eat a lot of it real fast. All right. The White House Easter egg roll tradition started way back in 1878. Did you know that? It was started by Rutherford B. Hayes, our president back then. He was taking a walk when children approached him about a possible Easter egg roll. He loved the idea, and it's been a yearly event ever since. So now we still have... White House Easter egg rolls, which we will get to watch here coming up soon, I'm sure. They're kind of fun. They have no purpose. You want to go from one side of the lawn to the other side while you're rolling an Easter egg. I guess it's a speed event, right? They haven't added it to the Olympics yet. I'm not guessing that it will be soon. It is a speed event, and I think the first one to get to the other end of the yard wins a prize, probably an Easter egg or maybe an Easter bunny, a chocolate Easter bunny, right? Well, I hope you have a wonderful Easter. We have a caller. Let's see what our caller has to say.
Hello, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yeah, my grandmother used to give us red Easter bunnies.
Red Easter bunny?
Bread.
Bread. Oh, that's interesting.
One of the local bakeries used to make Easter bunnies in a mold that looked like bread.
Yeah. That sounds good. I love bread. Was it covered with chocolate or anything?
Nope.
Bread.
Yeah, just bread. brown from, how bread turns brown. And,
yeah.
But that was, there used to be a lot of local bakeries around here.
Yes. And it was intended to turn brown, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she probably did that because it was probably better for some chocolate.
Yeah, probably a lot better than chocolate, yeah. Well, are you going to have any for Easter this year?
Oh, no. So she passed away, and I don't think, okay. I forget which bakery it was, but I don't think anybody would do that today.
Okay. Well, I hope you have a wonderful Easter, and thanks for the information.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. That's interesting. I've never heard of that, a bread Easter bunny. What a neat tradition. I may look around to see if any of the bakeries in the area have such a thing. It would be fairly simple, you would guess. Pretzels were associated with Easter, by the way, because they're twisty and salty. They kind of resemble arms crossing in prayer, I guess. Pretzels. That's kind of like a bread bunny. Well, thank you very much for calling in to our callers. But let me remind you, we do have an area rug that somebody's trying to sell for $15. It's cream color with blue emphasis on it. It just needs to be cleaned. It's about the size of most living rooms would use. 18 by 15, we were kind of guessing. If you're looking for that area rug, call 740-914-0456. Let me give you that number for the area rug one more time. 740-914-0456. I really appreciate you listening to Swap Shop. I've learned something. I learned they made bread bunnies for Easter. I'm going to go looking for one. I think that's a neat idea. A lot better for your teeth. Probably not good for your waistline, though. Not low in carbs, right? All right. I'm going to have to get out of here. We've only got about 20 seconds left to go. I thank you so much for listening to Swap Shop, and we'll be back next week, Wednesday and Thursday, or when I'm on the air from around 10:15 until about 1 o'clock, both days. And we'll be back on again next week, hope we swap shop with you.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Your place for the